Romans 13 and 11. You'll look there with me. This scripture is talking about the need for Christians, the church, to be awake, spiritually awake. And I guess everybody physically is different. Some people, I've heard of people who sleep so deep that you can almost stand beside them and yell at them and they won't wake up. I've heard of people that would go into such deep sleeps that you could shake them and they still would sleep right on. It must be wonderful to be able to sleep that way. I've never known that kind of sleep. As a matter of fact, my alarm clock, I don't have it anymore, but the one I used to have for years, before it went off, it started making a very slow moaning noise. And before it even buzzed the alarm, I would be able to turn it off because I heard that little muffled sound way in the distance. And I didn't want to hear that horrible alarm go off. And I would turn it off because I'm such a light sleeper. Just about anything in the house, any crack or pop or anything, the ice maker, just about anything in the house, and it wakes me up. And I know that some of you are probably thinking that's because you're getting older. And that's exactly what happens. The older you get, according to Ecclesiastes, the birds outside wake you up and the smallest little sounds wake you up the older you get. But wherever you are, we're not talking about a physical wake up. We're talking about the need for a spiritual wake up. And I really do believe that there are a lot of Christians today that are asleep at a time when we ought to be very alert, very aware of what's going on around us. Our spiritual sensitivity should be very keen. We should be in tune with what's going on, as our brother Bright was describing some of the prophetic things from the book of Zechariah and other prophecies concerning the times that we're living in right now. Christians should be wide awake spiritually and very much in tune with what's happening around us. Let's read here in Romans 13 and 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, the scripture is telling us that we need to make an estimate. We need to look at the value of time. We need to see where we are in our life as it compares to eternity. Let me tell you, your life compared to eternity is just nothing. The Bible says it's a vapor. It's just a puff of smoke. It's really so small. It's interesting how that we give so much energy and so much of our time in making preparation for the things in this life and very little consideration for eternity. We're concerned about the details of our physical life that we're living. And we worry and we fret and we plan and we look at all of the plans for when we're in our 20s and then when we're in our 30s. We plan for this. We plan for retirement. We plan for all these times when really in comparison to eternity, it's just a little small puff of smoke, isn't it? So we need to live our life with a proper estimate of time and the value of it, the brevity of it, the opportunity that we have with this short span of time that God has given to us. The writer here is saying, wake up. Wake up. Know the time. Understand the time. Understand not only the time of your life. And by the way, I really believe that we were all born at the time that we were, at the place that we were, into the family that we was born, all of these things that God prearranged and planned in our life so that we could fulfill His will and His purpose. Amen. Your life is not your own. Your life is not your own to live out the days of your life. Have you heard people say, what are you doing today? Oh, just killing time. When I was a younger person, I probably would have thought, would even have used that terminology. Not anymore. I don't think of it that way anymore. I think of time as something that is more precious. It's more valuable. As we live out our life, there needs to be the understanding of where we are and how valuable that time is. If a person is physically asleep, that means that he's not responsive. It means that he's not going to, there's not any activity going on. Bodily function slows way down. And everything, when you're physically asleep, then the awareness around you is almost nil. The same thing is true in our spiritual sleep. You fall into a spiritual sleep and you don't take notice of anything that's going on around you. You don't take notice of your life and the time that God has given to you. You don't see it as precious and valuable as you should. Knowing the time. I think that I don't believe you should be all caught up in all of the, consuming the news, hours and hours and hours every day. But I do think we need to know the time we're living in. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. When a dictator who has been a dictator for more than 40 years in a socialist country, when he is toppled and killed, then you need to take notice of what's going on in our world. Take notice of some of the things that are going on. You notice that one leader and one prominent person after another being toppled. Leadership. There is a leadership vacuum in our world right now. Even in our country today, most people are saying about candidates that are running for president, no leadership. The United States Congress is at the all-time low in the history of the United States Congress as far as what people think about their leadership. So we're at a time right now when we're in this vacuum, no real moral leadership. And we are set up for someone to step on the scene who offers answers as a leader. And we know that person will be the Antichrist. The economy is also a part of that. It's not just the breakdown in the economy here in our country, but all over the world. There's this situation with the economy crumbling and markets just teetering on disaster all over the world. And I don't mean to just present a bleak and a dark situation to you here this morning, but somehow we need to have a wake-up call. Because people in the church world have gone asleep. And we're just casual about our walk with God. We're casual about the fact that souls are dying and going to hell. We're casual about the fact that we have a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ to take the gospel into all of the world. Amen. So that ought to be the priority of our life. Amen. Now we're blessed here that the majority of people in this service today, no doubt, you bring tithes and you pay your tithes. And you give to the work of the Lord, give to missions, and give to needs. And I'm thankful for that. But I know of a pastor who has hundreds of people in his church. Hundreds and hundreds. More than 1,000. And out of all of those people that are in his church, he estimates that only 10 to 15% of those that are attending are paying tithes in the church. And I tell you, what's happening across our country today is people are losing their priority. They're losing their what's really valuable, what's really important, the kingdom of God, the work of God, the outreach to souls and touching the lives of people. And it's very easy to get all caught up in yourself. And we live, especially when that's the trend, when that's the whole culture is moving in that direction of, you know, self-gratification. I'm what's important. Do what I want to do. Do what's important for me. Take care of me. That's what the world is. And if that's the track you're on, you need to wake up this morning. If you're moving in that direction, you need a spiritual wake up. All those things that you're consuming your life and your time with today, what eternal value are they? What you're spending all of your money on, what eternal value is there among those things? I think that we need to measure that. And that's really what the apostle is saying. We need to know the time. We need to not only understand the preciousness and the value of the time that we have been given here in this world, but we also need to understand that God has put us and we are living in these last moments of time just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the sad indictment against us and the church is that we are more careless. We're more disinterested in the things of God, more complacent towards spiritual things. Amen. And on a story, it stirs me. It concerns me because our altars ought to be filled. And before the sinners are going to come to the altar is going to have to be a place where the saints of God gather as often as possible. And there has to be that kind of a response and a love for God, a love for the work of God. And get our minds upon the Lord and the calling and the purpose which He has put on our life. Wake up. Lord, give us a wake-up call today to see where we are, knowing the time. But now it is high time. And the phrase there just means this is the time. It's the time. As if there will be no other time. As if this is the season for action. This is the time to take advantage of. And if you do not, then you'll lose it. You'll lose opportunity. You can't buy up opportunities. And once you have spent your hours and your days and your resources, once it's all gone, it's just gone. You can't go back and redo yesterday or last week or last month. All you can do is take what you have right now here today and use what you have now for the glory of God. So there really needs to be, I believe, a spiritual wake up. Lord, wake us up. Lord, wake us up. Help us to see where we are, what we're doing, and how selfish we are. Knowing the time that it's high time, this is the season to awake out of sleep. This is the time there's going to have to be an awakening. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's describing the end of this age. When we enter in to the presence of the Lord and we move into eternity. And every day you're moving closer and closer and closer to that day. When you're young, you don't give much consideration to it because you're always just thinking, I've got my life ahead of me, and so I don't have to really think that much about it. But young people, you need to consider the fact that what you have is a great opportunity, and that is to give of yourself and give of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ completely and entirely. You may have heard me on the radio this morning talking about C.T. Studd, who was a professional sportsman, and was saved, and he didn't really know what the Lord wanted him to do, so he just pursued his education. And then one day, he read what an atheist said, an atheist who said, if I believe what all these evangelicals say they believe about people dying and going into eternity, into a place called hell, if I believed that, then I would sell everything I have, and all of my life resources and all of my energy would be given to reaching the world. And that so pricked the heart of C.T. Studd that's what he did. And everybody ridiculed him for doing that. He sold everything he had. He gave everything that he had up. And he spent the rest of his days reaching the lost of India and Africa. That was the burden of his heart. Do you really believe that people are lost, that they're dying and they're going to hell? then how can we live our life so carelessly? How can we live our life so carnally, so disinterested in the things of the Lord? Don't think I've just come back from this holiness convocation. I'm going to get on to everybody. This is not something that has been burdening my heart only a few days, but for a good while. Because, there's a carelessness. There's a callousness. There's a disinterest in the things of God. And that is played out in our priorities, what we do with our life. We go to church if we want to. If we don't want to, we don't go. We pray if we want to. If we don't feel like it, we don't pray. We're not interested. We're not really, there's not this inner compelling of the Spirit of God. We're not really spiritually awake. We don't really see the time that we're in. So as a result, we're not motivated to action and to do something about the times that we're in. We need to awaken out of the sleep. We need to see the sinful, terrible, moral condition of our world today. We need to understand that there's no hope for our world and for our country outside of a move of God and a return to God. And the only way that's going to happen is if Christians in the church get on fire for God. That's the only way it's ever going to happen. Don't expect, you know, that it's going to come through politics or it's going to come through any other leadership in our nation except through the individual Christian and believer who just determines in his heart, I'm going to give my all to God. I'm going to yield myself completely to the Lord and for His will and purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Lord, awaken us out of this spiritual sleep, this sleep of death, and help us to come out of it and to see the great need of the hour is for a church that is vibrant, on fire, filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, being used of the Lord in these last days to do a work that will change lives. Amen. Oh God, awaken us. Awaken us. There has to be a return to a seriousness and a consciousness of eternity, consciousness of eternity. Help me, Marcia.
I borrowed this from the yarn room. Sorry, ladies. And just take it out. Imagine with me this yarn is your life. But only this little pink part is your life in this world. And imagine that just keeps going on and on and on, which is actually the reality of your life. We're all eternal beings. Amen. And everybody that you meet out there, the gas station, the barber shop, at the grocery store, every one of them, they have an eternal existence, either heaven or hell, every one of them. And this little pink part, that's your life in this world. And we live our whole existence for this part and this part, and mostly for this part. A lot of people, they live all their life for this little part right here. And they invest and they save and they work for this part, and they forget about all of this. All of this. Eternity, not living. And so we're caught up in carnal pursuits. We're caught up in worldly things and interested in all of these things. And really, our whole life is just so small compared. And we're wasting it. We're wasting it because this time has been given to us to prepare for all of time and eternity. Everyone that you meet, all of your neighbors, all of your friends, they all have an eternal soul. And yet we're caught up with this. And let's go to this game. And let's do this. Let's get involved in this activity. And we're worried about all these worldly, daily, carnal pursuits. We're concerned about them. And we're not giving any time to the pursuit of our eternal existence. And I don't know how to better illustrate it except just to tell you that there's a whole lot more that we need to be focused on. Our lives, our futures, our eternities, the little short span of years that we have in this life should all be an investment for the kingdom of God and for the future of our eternal existence. Amen. But people are not living for eternity.
Most people in our society, in our culture today, they could care less. They don't believe it. They have been taught a philosophy that when you live out the days this world and you die, that's the end of all things. A big majority of people in the United States of America, that's what they believe now. We used to be a nation that was founded on the truths of God's word, that believed in God as creator and believed in heaven, believed in an eternal existence and of the souls of men. But now everybody goes to heaven. Michael Jackson's in heaven. Elvis Presley's in heaven. All these people, prominent people who live wicked, evil lives, they're all in heaven. We have compassion. Well, I have compassion for anyone that dies and doesn't know Jesus Christ. But we live in, what I'm illustrating is that this world has got this philosophy now that is not considering the fact that people are going to come to the end of this short little span and they're going to be cast out into a lost eternity and never have another opportunity. And we squabble about little things and we get our life all wrapped up in this and our lives are so consumed with things that don't really matter, and they certainly don't matter as far as eternity is concerned. My prayer this morning is, Lord, that there be a wake-up call around here. Help me to wake up and help all of us to wake up. Help us to see where we are in the plan of God and the purpose of God. Amen. The night, verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. So what do we do? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Everything that's of this life, everything that's of the flesh, all of the carnal pursuit, all of the things that really have no eternal consequence. All the works of darkness. The apostle says, cast it off. Cast it off. It's all worthless. It's all meaningless. The only thing that really counts in this life is what you do in preparation for the life to come and how you help others to make preparation for the life to come. Amen. When you get a hold of this, then a missions offering is not a drudgery anymore. You see it as an opportunity. When you get a hold of this, then a prayer meeting is not just something that you have to go to, but you feel compelled. Oh God, I've got to stay in touch with you. I've got to hear your voice. Being at church, being at Sunday school, being at every service as you have opportunities to be in the house of the Lord. It is not a drudgery to you, but it's something that you know is valuable and important in the kingdom of God and for eternity's sake. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What's going to be dissolved? Everything. Everything in this world. Amen. Your house, your car, your bank account, everything that you think is so important. And I'm not saying that God blesses us with daily provision. And I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't be grateful for the way that the Lord provides for us as far as this life is concerned. But that can't be your focus. That can't be your life. That can't be the priority of your life. Those are just things that God blesses us with along the way. And we're just grateful for the way that He takes care of us. But we do not make that the focus of our life. We put off the works of darkness. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since you know that this is a temporary world, all these things are going to be dissolved, then that fact ought to have an effect upon the way you live in this world. It ought to have an effect upon you. It ought to concern you. You should live your life knowing that this world is temporary and time is limited. It's short. And what we do with the time that God has given to us will have an effect for all of eternity. All of eternity will be affected. So we're to put off the garments, the works of darkness, and put on the armor of light, which just speaks of of the armor of God, the spiritual armor. Put those things on that will provide light and truth, and consume yourself with putting on those things instead of all of these things of this world that are passing away. Amen. So we need to wake up, and we need to get up. We need to put off our night clothes, the works of darkness, and put on our armor of light. I heard an old preacher one time who preached, and he told about how that when he would work all day long, and then he would come in and go to church to preach, and he said, I'd come home and I'd take my work clothes off, and put my church clothes on, get all cleaned up, and put my church clothes on. He was preaching along there, and he talked about the fact that some folks, they've never put off their dirty clothes. They're still in that old life. Still in that old life. And he said, you can tell what kind of a person that is going to be by the way that they have an attachment to this life and the things of this world. Amen. So put off the night clothes. Put on your armor of light. And then verse 13, let us walk. Amen. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Amen. Let's get up. Let's get busy. It's one thing to wake up. It's another thing to get up and get to moving and doing things. We've had this little family joke because for years, Zach, when he's a little bitty guy, and like kindergarten, first grade, that whenever we would go in to get him up, he would open his eyes and say, hold up two fingers, and say, 2 minutes. And so that's a little family joke when someone's trying to wake us up, you know, 2 minutes, please, just two more minutes. And I do believe that it's important to have a spiritual awakening, but we also need to take action. Wake up and get up. And begin to walking as if you're in the light. And get in the light. And begin to live your life in such a way as to please the Lord. Put off the garments of the night. Put on the light of truth. Put on the armor of light. Amen. Put you on, verse 14, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That just means by your life, by your testimony, by your lifestyle, everything about you, the decisions that you're making, and the way that you're living every day, it's obvious to the world who you belong to. The world looks at you and they say, that's a Christian. That's a person. Look at their countenance. Look at their modesty. Look at their spirit that's so evident that they have the touch of God upon their life. And the world sees that and wants to be like you. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So wake up. Get up. Put off the old clothes of darkness and put on the armor of light. Amen. And then the last part of this verse, it says, and make no provision for the flesh. The word provision there is a word that means forethought. You've made a plan. Amen. A lot of people, things happen in their life and they think, oh, I didn't know, I would have never thought this would ever happen to me. And certainly we can't determine the events that are going to take place in our life. But I do believe that if we'll just plan to please God, amen, we just make a commitment to the Lord, to please the Lord. Amen. And make a vow to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life. I'm going to put you first. Nothing else is going to have preeminence in my life. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Amen. Don't be so careful about the things of this life and of the flesh, but instead strengthen the inner man. Build up the spiritual man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the Lord do a work in you. Amen. If you've found yourself kind of going off into a spiritual sleep, you need to be awakened here today. Amen. Amen. Many of the revivals in our country were called just that, spiritual awakenings, great awakenings. Because people just go into a spiritual sleep. And they don't care about spiritual things. They're not interested in the things that should be on the very heart. And there has to be this awakening in us to please the Lord. I'm praying that God will give us a wake-up call here today. Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for how you speak to us and deal with us. Surely we are living in the last moments of time. Surely your coming is very soon. The church is going to be caught away. Oh, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be found unprepared. I don't want to be found consumed with the things of this world. But Lord, help me to be full of faith. Help us all, Lord, to be awakened to the need, Lord, for a revival and a renewal and a spiritual awakening among us. Lord, our community is in need. Our nation is in desperate need. Lord, I just know that you can raise up people right here in this congregation with a burden to pray, with a burden to seek your face, a burden to step out and to do the work of the Lord locally in outreach, worldwide in missions. All of us playing our part in reaching the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, how we need a godly perspective on things. I've been reading this book, such a stirring book, by a national missionary from India. Oh, that somehow we could see things from God's perspective. See how foolish it is that we get so worried and consumed with things in this world that don't really matter. Just think about this. I don't know how many people are here this morning. 120 maybe, I don't know. Do you know that in northern Yemen, that there are 8 million people in northern Yemen? You probably never thought about it, probably don't know anything about that country. Just another one of those Islamic states. 8 million people in the northern part of Yemen. Do you know how many Christians there are there? 20. Out of 8 million people, 20 believers who are trying to stay alive in a country that hates God, the true and the living God. You say, well, why are you telling us that? I'm telling you that because that 8 million, that scenario can be played over and over and over and over again all over the world. And we are so blessed. We can sing and we can pray and we can give and we can witness and we can be in church and we have all these privileges. And we fall into a spiritual sleep. We need to wake up, folks. Wake up. Wake up. Get a hold of God. Seek the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, and I invite you to come. If you're not a Christian, you don't know Jesus, please, would you come to this altar along with everyone else as everybody else finds a place for prayer. Amen. I really think it's a wonderful thing whenever the church closes out the service in the altar, calling on the Lord. So if all of you would be willing to do that, let's pray together. And for those of you who are here today, you don't know Jesus, please come. Please come. Let the Lord do a wonderful work in you. Let him change you. Let him transform you. Hallelujah. Oh, that the altars would be filled with seekers. And that, Lord, all around this congregation today, Lord, that you would wake us up. Wake us up, Lord, that there be an awakening among each one of us, we pray. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God.